Welcome to Weekend Getaway Reviews, the show dedicated to inspiring you to break free from any excuses that are preventing you from traveling and going on more getaways. My name is Carmen Benton, and my husband Ben and I run a successful travel blog at weekendgetawayreviews.com. We love to travel and we do it a lot, and even though our trips are usually weekend getaways, we have managed to take getaways around the world because we have figured out how to fit traveling our busy schedules and budgets. Join us weekly right here to learn how we do it, and hopefully we'll get to inspire you with our adventures. Without further delay, here's today's show. Hello and welcome to Weekend Getaway Reviews, the podcast. My name is Carmen Benton, and today we're going to be talking about Alaska. As many of you know, I live in Anchorage, Alaska with my husband, Ben, even though I moved here before he did. So I've been here since 2007. I tell you, at first, it was a little different to live here, but it definitely has grown on me. The quality of life that we can get here, it's incomparable to anything that I have experienced in the big cities that I lived before. And I quite frankly cannot imagine doing all the things I do between work and projects and kids in a big city where you have to drive and commute and be in so much traffic. So for that part, I'm grateful. And we still get to travel. I mean, that's how this whole experience and whole project about Weekend Getaway Reviews started originally was because I do need to travel and get out of Alaska regularly. And so we started traveling a lot. And this is where all started. So Alaska is a great place to visit. It's probably in most people's bucket list. And there's many ways you can get here, or many ways you can do a trip to Alaska. You could do a cruise, which I've done three of them. And that's definitely something that you should consider. And you might wonder why someone who lives in Alaska has to do three Alaskan cruises. And the reason is because Alaska is not a place where you can drive everywhere. It's a huge state to begin with. If you overlay on top of the continental United States, it will be bigger. Will extend from Florida all the way to California. And so there's many areas where there's no roads, or you need a small plane or ferry to get to. So taking a cruise gives you an avenue to visit these places that are remote in a much more affordable way, believe it or not. You get to see places like Skagway, where you can do a gold panning and learn about gold rush. You get to see places like Sitka, Juneau, and obviously the fjords, where all the famous glaciers are. Those are usually the cruises that come up from Seattle or Canada in a round trip way. You can also take a one-way cruise that will potentially put you all the way into Seward, which is only 2 hours away from Anchorage, and or Whittier, which is only an hour away from Anchorage. And so today's post is trying to help you. What happened if you take an Alaska cruise or are in Anchorage trying to figure out what to do as day trips, and try to give you a little overview of the fun things that are to do here in Alaska. Before we do that, I wanted to give you a little background and a little facts about Alaska. So in Anchorage. So even though Anchorage is the fourth largest city in the United States by land area. It's a very small city in population. With only about 295,000 people, yet is the largest city of Alaska by a lot. And maybe you have concluded already that Anchorage is still a small city. And because of that, I usually get the question of people all over the world if we live in an igloo. I used to get offended by that, but no, the answer is no. We do not live in igloos. I have a very nice, comfortable, upscale, 5-bedroom house in a nice neighborhood with sidewalks and a backyard and a fence, 2 nice cars, and no. In fact, I have not seen a real igloo. I have seen the igloos, quote unquote, that my kids have built in the backyard when it snows, kind of like a snow fort. But I haven't seen real igloos yet. Probably that is something that happens more above the Arctic Circle, which is, I don't know, 5 to 6 hours north of Anchorage. And it's not really for living. So my understanding is that the history of the igloos, it's when the natives go out fishing or hunting in the winter, they use the igloos as a refuge from the snowstorms and the wind because it insulated and it's actually warmer, as you might imagine, inside the igloos. But it's not really for living. So the other thing about Anchorage is that it's kind of centrally located in the Glove. And it has headquarters for cargo airplanes. My understanding is that a long time ago, you could take direct flights from Anchorage to Asia and Japan. Japan is in Asia, but like China and Japan and Russia, and you can still do Germany. So you fly over the pole and you'll be in these places like in 9 hours. In fact, we're going to Europe in 27 days. Who's counting? And we're taking Condor Airlines over the pole. So we go Anchorage, Frankfurt direct, and it's a 9-hour flight. I would love for it to, the Asian flights to come back, because when I went to Bali about 4 years ago, I had to go Seattle, then Taipei, then Bali. It would be so much quicker if I can go Anchorage directly to Asia. So I want to give you a couple of things to do in Alaska, kind of from Anchorage. And I want to divide it between summer activities and winter activities. Even though the cruises only happen in the summer, in fact, the cruising season is from Mother's Day until Labor Day. But a lot of people also come to Alaska in the winter to see some of the amazing things that you can see and do. And I would recommend you, if you only have Alaska in your bucket list once, you should put it another time and specify Alaska in the summer and Alaska in the winter, because it's two different experiences that everyone should have. So to give you a perspective, you know, when everyone said it's light all day during the summer, it's dark all day during the winter, it depends where you are in the state. If you pass the Arctic Circle, that becomes more true. In Anchorage, here where I am, the longest day is June 20th, 21st, and it's about 20 hours of sunlight. And the temperature can be anywhere between 55 to 78 Fahrenheit in average. However, we had the hottest 2 weeks ever just these last 2 weeks. And I loved every second of it. It was about 84, 85 degrees. It was actually summer. And I think everyone was like dying of the heat wave, I was in heaven. It was hot, but it felt like we actually had a summer. Alaska is not very warm. In Anchorage, anyways. I've heard that the interior, like going to Fairbanks, could be 10 degrees warmer in the summer. The same way, it will get crazy colder in the winter. The reason for the change in temperatures is because Anchorage is next to the water, so kind of keeps the water, the sea level and the water temperature. In the winter, the shortest day we have, it's winter solstice, which is about December 20th too. And we have about 4 hours of sunlight in Anchorage. Now, it is not like noon sunlight. The sun comes out about 10 in the morning and it goes down about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, from winter solstice to summer solstice, every day you gain more sunlight. So it's exciting to be at winter solstice because you know you're out of the tunnel and you'll be winning sunlight every day. Now we're past summer solstice because it's July 12th when I'm recording this. And we know that every day we are losing sunlight. We still have a sizable amount of hours of sunlight, but we know we are losing every day. So anyways, with that said, I wanted to give you options of things to do in Anchorage, Alaska during both seasons. And we're going to do that right after this commercial break. So welcome back, and we're talking about what to do in Anchorage, Alaska. First, we're going to talk about the summer months. And the very first thing you want to do, if you're here during the summer, especially in the month like late June, the month of July, and maybe later like August, is go fishing for wild salmon. Depending on where during those times that I just gave you, you come here, you can either fish for king salmon, for sockeye, which is the red salmon, or for silver. My favorite is king salmon. I'm spoiled. What you actually have tried before a salmon, unless you had fresh Alaskan salmon, it's not even a comparison. I would be okay with silver when I move here. And then I tried the sockeye, which is like the next level up. And then I didn't want to do anything with silvers. And then I tried the fresh king salmon. And you can see pictures of these magnificent animals that we have caught ourselves in our website at weekendgetawayreviews.com. There's pictures of Ben fishing. There's pictures of me fishing. There's pictures of my kids fishing. This thing is amazing. Last week, Ben was at a lodge in the Nooksack River, and he got some fresh king salmon, and it was never frozen. And we put it in the grill with salt and pepper and olive oil, and that's all it needs. It's like butter melting in your mouth. It's amazing. Can you tell how much I like it? In fact, I think we're having salmon for dinner today. And the thing is that you live here and we have so much salmon that we have amazing different recipes. So maybe one day we can have a blog about those recipes and talk about them. But I will let Ben do that because he is the chef when it comes to that. But anyways, between the months of June and August, there are several runs of wild salmon coming into Anchorage creeks and rivers. You don't have to go very far. You can literally go to a creek or a river or off the road in Anchorage on your way to Seward, anywhere there. Stop with your fishing gear, get in the river with the equipment that you need. Trying to remember the name of the boots and the whalers, right? And just catch some salmon. And as I mentioned, at different times, you can get king or sockeye, which is the red, or silver. and these creeks actually run into the city, which is awesome. Little kids can do it. Anyone can do it. It's a family activity. It's a men's activity. It's a woman activity. Anyone can go fishing for salmon. It's an amazing and fun experience. Take it from the girl that is not outdoorsy. Fishing for salmon is actually fun. One amazing thing is that the fish are literally begging you to get them out of the water. The silvers fight a little bit, but so these fish are coming back into the creeks and the rivers to spawn. And so they're just like zombies coming in, and it's really amazing to see. And they actually change colors once they get into that phase. So they are not silver looking anymore, neither of them, not the king salmon or the sockeye. They turn kind of red, and that's where you see in the pictures, like the red salmons, they're salmon who are spawning. You can also go fishing for halibut. If you want to do that, you go out of Seward, which is about 2 hour drive from Anchorage, a total day trip, or you can go to Homer, which is 4 hour four hour drive from Anchorage. Totally doable to do for a day too. Couple of years ago, Ben and his oldest son went and caught some halibut, and Drew, who is Ben's son, got a 70-pound halibut. It was amazing. There's pictures of that on the blog as well. The second thing you can do during summer in Anchorage is go hiking. There's many, many trails everywhere. And one that's very popular, it's called Flat Top. And it's called Flat Top because it's a mountain with a flat top. And I can actually see it from my house. It's not more than 25 minutes drive from downtown Anchorage, maybe 30. And about 15 minutes from my house. And it has a 3.3 mile loop, heavily trafficked, which is actually good because there are bears in Anchorage, there's moose, there's wildlife, and I don't want to scare you. Everyone goes out. I'm scared, but people go out. You just gotta be cautious, which basically the measures you want to take are to have bear bells, which basically the theory behind that is that you have to make noise so you don't startle the bears, and bear spray. And if you have any firearms, that could help too, as long as you know how to use it and you're safe around it. But this loop is called the Blueberry Loop, and it makes it very safe to hike this mountain and be able to pick berries in the fall. That's a great great activity that families and people do in Anchorage, and then everyone makes their jam for the winter. And it's a family activity too. You can do with your kids, you can do even if you are not like super fit or, you know, an avid hiker. I mean, my kids and I go and do the walk in the trail. Is rather easy. The number three thing you can do in Anchorage is to observe the wildlife. And there's many ways to do this. Literally, I'm going to mention three. One, you can go to the Alaska Zoo. It's literally 5 minutes from my house. It's in the middle of the city, off O'Malley Road. And it has pretty much all the animals you want to see. It has polar bears. They're very cute. They have grizzly bears. They have black bears. They have eagles, snow leopards, moose, although the moose hides a lot, lynx, wolverines, seals, otters, and a bunch of other birds and fox, and wolves, coyotes. You know, it's a zoo. It's pretty nice considering the small city, and very accessible, very safe. Not very expensive. You can do in an hour and a half if you're taking your time. It's a great thing to do. The second thing you can do is go to the Alaska Conservation Center. It's on the way between Anchorage and Portage, so south, a little like, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes past Gearwood, which is a famous town that we're going to talk about in the winter portion. And they have animals in a bigger space, so you can almost see them as if they were in nature, but there is a fence, a big, big fence around it. And they have moose and elk and bears. I'm trying to think what other animals they have, but the best part of that is actually the bears, because they are in a bigger area, and so they behave a little more like wild bears, I guess. And that is like $10 per car or $15 per car, so it's very inexpensive to go in, and you park your car and then you walk, and so that takes you more like 2 hours, but it's a nice sight. The third way you can do, and not everyone has the luck to be able to experience this, but there is wildlife in Anchorage. So living in Anchorage, if you go to the blog, you'll see there's a picture of a moose who was literally outside my house. It was like, I don't know, 3 feet away from my back door a couple of years ago in another place we were living. But you can see moose, you can see lynx, you can see bears, not running around, but you could see them in the city. So those are three ways you can observe wildlife in Anchorage. Another thing you can do during the summer months, not in the winter, but in the summer months, is walk on a glacier. There's a glacier called the Matanuska Glacier, which is maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours north of Anchorage in the Matanuska Valley, and you can walk on it. You need cleats because it's ice and you will fall on your butt if you don't. But it's something that a lot of people do. I haven't done it myself. My older kids did it with their dad, and the pictures are amazing. There is, you know, the ice is blue, and just imagine yourself in this wilderness. Looks cold, but they said it wasn't. In fact, their aunt, who was here visiting from California, actually decided to jump in the glacial water, and I don't know how long she lasted, but she took a picture, and it was pretty cool. So that's something that you can consider doing. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about what things you can do in the winter. So don't go anywhere. Okay, so here we're back, and talking about what to do in Anchorage in the winter. So one thing that is amazing and everyone wants to do and everyone should do is to chase the northern lights. I am ashamed to admit that I have been here for 12 years and I have only seen them once. The reason for this is that there is certain conditions that need to occur for the northern lights to be visible. They are always out, but they are not always visible. And since I am in Anchorage, which is few hours south of the Arctic Circle, they are less frequent, right? If you go to Fairbanks, if you go further north, you probably can see them all the time. But in Anchorage, and given the fact that it's a city and there's a lot of lights from the actual city, there are certain conditions that need to occur. There needs to be completely clear sky, and it needs to be super, super cold. And it has to be dark, obviously. So they happen in the winter and super late at night. And I am a mother of three of my own plus three stepkids. And I have a lot of work to do. And I don't feel like getting up when I'm at home. If I will be on vacation, I'll do it because it's a once in a lifetime thing, right? But when I'm at home, I don't feel like getting up at 2 in the morning, putting my alarm at 2 in the morning to see the northern lights. There's forecasts that you can use just to know when they are likely to be out. And usually when that happens and there's big chance of day showing up, I get up in the morning and I check up you know, Facebook, and everyone has pictures of it. And so, but I saw them about 5 years ago coming back from Hawaii. The flight that is direct from Hawaii to Anchorage lands about 4:50, 5 in the morning, and it was winter, so it was pitch dark. And I saw them in the plane, and in the plane, they were all the colors. It was so beautiful. It was pink and purple and green and blue. And we landed, and they were still out. And as I was driving home, the colors were different, though. It was mostly green from the ground, but it's probably because of the cloud, or who knows the difference of the air. But it was amazing. It was an amazing experience. That if you're coming to Anchorage in the winter, you should do. Ben and I have been talking about actually taking a weekend to go to Fairbanks and do some of the things you can do there, like going to the Ice Museum and also chase the Northern Lights. So we may do that. And if we do, I'll be able to describe to you all the colors and put a lot of those pictures in the blog. The second thing you can do in Anchorage in the winter is go skiing at the Alieska Resort. Winters in Alaska are very long, and the way to enjoy them is by doing winter sports. My older two kids are part of the ski club, and they ski every weekend at the Alieska Resort. It's only 45 minutes away from our house. It's a 5-star hotel, super nice, and they have some crazy rides. I tell you, I mean, I can ski okay. When I was in California, I used to go to Lake Tahoe a lot, and I can go obviously comfortable in a green run, pretty decently in a blue. I don't want to do any blacks, quite frankly. And Alieska has a lot of black and triple black diamonds, and I don't even want to know when my kids are telling me about how vertical they are, but they love it. They go every weekend, as I said, and it's a great way to enjoy winter. There's also a very small hill, like 5 minutes from my house. It's called Hilltop. If you are in town, that probably is the way you want to go and take a lesson. It's not so pretty. It's not a resort. It's just a hill, and it has a chalet with some amenities. But it's something you can do during the day, get in and out. And there is a lot of cross-country ski in Anchorage. There's trails everywhere. I mean, like, everywhere. These trails are multifunctional because in the summer, they serve as a mountain bike trails. And in the winter, they serve as a cross-country ski. And they are light. They have electricity. And so people can use them year-round. So it's great. The third thing you want to do is to watch the Iditarod race. Iditarod. I-D-I-T-A-R-O-D. This is the sled dog race. And it's a super famous thing to watch in Anchorage, Alaska. And it's called the last great race on Earth. It basically has its origins, I don't know how many years ago, where there was some medical emergency in rural Alaska, and this is the way they were able to transport the medications to these communities. And now they celebrate it every year, and they made it a race, and there's people from all over the world coming to race. There's some pictures of that in the blog too, so if you want to check them out. And I remember there was a couple of years ago, there was this guy from Jamaica running on his dog sled in the middle of nowhere in Alaska, and it's like a parade. People go watch it, right? And he's like running his sled and drinking Red Stripe, and it was super cool, right, to see that, because they go through blizzard conditions in this race, and it's super watched and not televised, but there's checkpoints all throughout, and people are taken care of. But the conditions can be brutal. It's during the middle of the winter. It goes from Anchorage to, I want to say, to Nome. And, you know, it gets like 70 below in some of those places. So definitely something you want to come watch. This town actually doubles in size that week in March where the Iditarod happens, because people come from all over the world to watch it. Number four is to go ice skating. You can go ice skating in actually a lagoon. It's called the Westchester Lagoon, and it's located in the middle of Anchorage. And on the weekends, they do like hot cocoa stations and like firebomb stations on the ice, where you think it will be like kind of crazy dangerous, but the ice is so thick that it doesn't matter. And you see families and people of all ages, people learning how to ice skate in that lake, and it's super cool. So regardless of the season that you want to come to Alaska, there's many things that you can do here. I hope this podcast, this episode, has opened your appetite to come and visit this great state of Alaska. There's so much more to do. There's so much more we'll be talking in the podcast. I will be reviewing the best restaurants in Anchorage. I'll be reviewing all the things that you can do here. So do not miss an episode. Subscribe to the podcast and go check out also the pictures at the blog at Weekend Getaway Reviews. And I will see you in the next episode of this great podcast. See you soon. Bye. I hope you enjoyed today's episode of Weekend Getaway Review, the podcast. And until our next traveling adventure, I hope you got inspired to get rid of the excuses and book your next trip. Travel often and travel more, because life is your getaway.